This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, 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 bring them out.
Good morning and welcome to the Cap J Hood Show on ESPN 1000 with Jesse Rogers in for my guy Hoodie, who has a few days off in advance of the start of the baseball season. I'm David Kaplan. Shane Norling's our executive producer, the beat man. Jay Moore is at the controls, and we are ready to rock and roll at 312-332-3776 as we embark on our next 25
you
years
gotta,
here
you gotta shoot
at the
me
radio station.
You gotta shoot me a text about this Kennedy construction, for God's sakes. 5:30 in the morning.
I bought it on Friday.
I know you did. I tried to leave even a little bit earlier and still got stuck in it all. My God, that's going to go on for 3 years?
3 years.
Okay, well, I'll be attending White Sox game via train these days.
Good luck
via
with
train
that.
In 2023. Good to see you, Cap.
Good to
yes,
see you,
we
kid.
Had a good time on Friday. I'm ready to rock and roll. A whole weekend of basketball to discuss, men and women. Can I, full disclosure real quick, until 4 months ago, I didn't give a crap about Iowa football or basketball, and now I'm paying them for my daughter to go to school there, and I'm like all into it. Like, I am all into Iowa, and last night the women's team made the Final Four.
Yeah, I walked in here, and immediately, you weren't in here yet, Shay says something about Jonathan Majors, and I'm thinking, $6 million man, I didn't even know he was still alive. He's like, no, Jonathan Majors. I'm like, who's that? And I had brought that name up because he was tweeting about it over the weekend, and my wife, and she's like, $6 million man? I'm like,
that's who I thought it was, too.
No.
Lee Majors.
Right. Never heard of the guy. Never heard of him. And he's telling me he's the biggest actor in Hollywood. Stop yourself.
And he is the big, right now he is. This story's massive.
Jesse didn't know who he was either.
Three pop culture mavens in here, Cap and Jesse.
My wife hadn't heard of him.
Did either of you watch Succession last night?
No.
Like I said, two pop culture mavens in there.
I did. After the Iowa game was over, watch Succession.
Iowa got eliminated in the first round.
Iowa women's team. Now, finish your story. You didn't know who Jonathan Majors was, and then I came in and said,
you named some yes. name, and I'm
oh,
like,
I don't know, the first 40-point triple-double in NCAA
said,
history?
Who had a... I watched the games yesterday. I didn't see a 40-point triple-double. Oh,
Caitlin
the Iowa women.
Clark.
God bless her.
41, 12, and 10.
I didn't watch.
Although
God bless her.
The scorers gave her the 10th rebound. It was a tip at the end of the game, so it was a little something shady going on there. But yes, 40-point triple-double. Look, it was the last game of a whole weekend of games that Iowa played last night. It was fun to watch these teams that never make the Final Four make it.
I was locked in on Golden State and the Timberwolves. Sorry.
Jeez, dang. But
sorry.
I freely admit 5 months ago, 6 months ago, could care less about Iowa sports. But this has been a nice bonding thing with my daughter, I got to admit, because she's not a big sports fan. She goes to college freshman year. All of a sudden, I'm getting texts about the Bulls, about Iowa basketball. I'm like, oh, you found religion. Yes, sports are fun.
Yeah, they are.
You know?
They're a lot of fun. So best of luck to, is it Iowa?
That's
in the, best of luck to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Lady Hawkeyes.
Lady Hawkeyes. Friday at the Final Four.
Best of luck to them. And best of luck to whatever other pop culture things that come up that I've never heard of.
Look, I'm with you on Jonathan Majors. I did not know who that was. And here's the thing, Shay. It's like a comic book universe, all right? In the old days, when you were 12, you were into comic books. For some reason, now if you're 35, 45, 50, you're supposed to know all this stuff. Well, I prefer not to. I'm not 12 anymore.
Thank you. Well said, Jesse.
Well, it's not just that, Jess. He was in Devotion.
What was that?
It was a movie about the Korean War, I think. He's in Creed III. He's one of the new it guys in Hollywood. And, well, not to get heavy to start the morning, but he was arrested over the weekend. It was a big story.
I once you told me the story, I remembered hearing it, but I didn't know his name was Jonathan Majors. I'm with Cap on that.
So let's talk NCAA tournament, okay? Because once this Final Four is over, baseball will be back, the Masters will come, but it's going to be a month of this new era of Bears football on your home for Chicago Bears football, ESPN 1000. I watched all these games. I was locked in Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon. It was all awesome. Do you like this fact? 312-332-3776. This is the first Final Four in history without a 1, a 2, or a 3 seed. They're all gone. Is the tournament better with no blue bloods in the Final Four? You have San Diego State, first trip ever. Florida Atlantic, first trip ever. And in the other matchup, you've got Miami of Florida, first trip ever against a UConn team that had fallen on hard times post-Jim Calhoun. Mm-hmm. And now Danny Hurley, my guy, has rallied the troops, and they are the favorite to win the championship next month.
They're really good. I don't see how you can say, oh, no, I like the other way, that if all four top seeds made it, I prefer that. That's no fun. So between that and this, I'll take this any day.
Same here.
And here's the other thing. Even if those all four top seeds make it, now I'm more of a casual fan than maybe you are, they're not full of Magic Johnsons and Larry Birds and household college names. That's probably why they didn't make it, these one seeds. So even if the one seeds have made it, I'm okay, I'll get to learn these players a little bit more. But I'm fine watching what we saw. I wish Marquise Noel had moved on. I kind of fell in love with him over the weekend, like everyone. It's kind of his coming out party nationally. But I don't see how anybody would prefer the 4-1 seeds to make it. That seems kind of boring, unless each of them had some major NBA star on it that you can't miss, and it was going to be Bird versus Johnson in the finals or something. So, yes, absolutely prefer this. It's fun. It's fun to see three schools make it for the first time. And speaking of which, last night, Miami's women team lost. It could have been Miami could have had men and women in the Final Four, which has happened 13 times. So who knew Miami was this basketball school all of a sudden? But he's a good coach. And do you know him at all, Jim?
Larinaga?
Yeah, do you know him
a little bit? Coach L?
Yeah. He's been around forever.
I know Brian Dutcher very well because he didn't become a head coach till like age 57 or 8. Because he was Steve Fisher's associate head coach at Michigan.
Right.
And then went with him to San Diego State. And then finally when Steve stepped down, then he took over and became the head coach. He's been the head coach for 6 years now. He's done a very good job.
But there's no doubt that it's not a coincidence that none of the top seeds made it. The transfer portal has changed things. Money coming into college sports has changed things. So I think this is the future, not the exception to the rule. I think this is kind of going to be the rule that you're going to see upsets. And first of all, Florida Atlantic obviously was seeded way too high. I mean, that 33-3 and your 9 seed, they got that wrong. It was all based on who they played in their conference, obviously, and their conference they're in. So they made a mistake with that one. But other than that, this has been awesome.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the heck out of it. 312-332-3776. This is the first Final Four ever without a 1, 2, or 3 seed. Is the tournament better without blue bloods? Let's go to Joe in St. Charles. He's first. Hey, Joe, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, you know, this reminds me of when Al McGuire won it. It was just a pile of junk in that Final Four, too. But, you know, to me, when I'm looking at this, it's like open gym at the Y. You know, the quality of play is bad.
Well, I don't know.
I disagree with you. I thought the quality of play was outstanding.
Marquise Noel was bad. That guy's ability to shoot and play make was bad, Joe?
It still looks like the Y to me. You're talking about one guy.
Well, I'm just giving you an example.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree with you more, Joe. You're entitled to your opinion. I don't understand it. I think it's amazing.
Those games were great yesterday.
And for the tournament. Joe, thanks for the call, man. Have a good week. It is amazing for college basketball.
Yeah, I think this is what they want, their version of parity, where it's not just the Blue Bloods. And I don't see how he can judge, like, if you just watch the games, how can you judge that's bad basketball? Like, you're, what are you comparing it to, is what I would say to him. Joe, what are you comparing it to? Because, I don't know, that was entertaining. They seemed to have good skill sets. There was good basketball. It was good offense, good defense, good shooting at times.
Well, I was freaking thrilled Alabama got knocked out. With all that nonsense going on, I did not have them advancing, so that was fine. I thought they did not handle the whole Brandon Miller thing correctly. I don't know Nate Oates. I've never talked to the guy in my life. Mm-hmm. I thought his comments, well, he's in the wrong place at the wrong time. A young lady was murdered.
Right.
And I just thought he came off. He may be the best guy in the world. He came off like a boob.
Yeah, he didn't handle it well.
He did not. Came off like a meathead.
Their crisis management wasn't great, and maybe karma came up and bit them because they lost. Did you have any Final Four teams? I only had UConn.
I had UConn left. I had Texas, and they blew the game.
Oh, you did?
I did. I had Texas winning it.
Now, it's so funny. Like, in hindsight, I'm like, why didn't I pick San Diego State? You know, like, how would I have known? How would I have known?
Right.
But Florida Atlantic should not have been a 9 seed. That became clear to me in the first two rounds. Last week, but it was a great weekend. It really was.
It was awesome.
But you and I disagree on one moment. At the end of that game when Marquise Noel got fouled and went to the free throw line. I'm sorry, not Marquise Noel, Damian Trammell.
Correct.
Darian Trammell. Jeez. Darian Trammell. We disagreed on that.
So I believe if you're going to call a game a certain way throughout, and you're going to allow physical play, you can't call that at the end. And I guarantee you that if that official could take it back, he would not make that call.
Really?
Yes.
Now, we're talking about the end of San Diego State Creighton, of course.
As a
1-point win.
If you're going to call it one way the entire game.
Well, you're making it sound like there were no fouls at all. I mean,
they were letting way worse stuff than that. And with 2/10 left, or with 3/10 left, or 1 second left, you're going to call that? You cannot call that.
I just can't imagine.
It's got to be egregious.
But it's not like the refs every time out are coming together saying, okay, we haven't been calling much, so let's keep that up. Like, you don't think that way. You're just watching for a foul. And if the game happened to have less fouls in it, and all of a sudden there's a foul, it's not like there were no fouls. I got to disagree with that. I thought live it was a foul. I thought live it was a foul. And then the replay, you saw the hand on the hip, and it changed the shot.
Oh, please.
Well, did you agree or disagree with the holding call at the end of the Super Bowl?
The holding call at the end of the Super Bowl. I believe that he, but that was way more of a grab.
I feel like they're similar.
They might be.
You know, so I thought that was the right call. And then when he missed the first free throw, I was like, oh boy, things are tightening up inside there.
All right, 312-332-3776. Is the Final Four better without the Blue Bloods? Your thoughts. And should officials swallow the whistle at the end of games unless it's egregious? We'll get to your calls next.
Your suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Win $400 in NCAA tournament bets, Kentucky Derby bets as well, while enjoying $4 Sam Adams beers. Details at HawthorneBettingBars.com. We say good morning to Snorlax.
Good morning, boys. Jess, how are we?
Well.
Congrats to your Lady Hawkeyes.
Thanks. Not my Lady Hawkeyes, but I'm interested.
They're your Lady Hawkeyes. If your daughter goes to school there and you're calling in favors to try to go to the Final Four, they are your Lady Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I just need I need Andrew Berlin's private jet to fly from Iowa City to Dallas. That's not an easy trip for my daughter. But I'll get her down there, Cap. I'll get her down there.
Well, you go Iowa.
You go to Cedar Rapids. Oh. She's got to go to Cedar Rapids. Probably stop over somewhere and then
Chicago.
Yeah, probably
or
right.
Minneapolis.
Exactly. So we'll see. I'm trying to get her down there.
All right,
rich
boys.
People problem.
Yeah.
All right, boys, let's start with the little Bears. Draft analyst Chad Reuter of NFL.com has released his latest mock draft and has joined the growing list of people projecting the Bears to do something I would deem shocking. Drafting Bijan Robinson, running back out of Texas, at 9. Reuter wrote, quote, "I don't blame teams for avoiding running backs in the top 10, but the Bears could make an exception. Shot or no shot, the Bears cannot afford to be making exceptions."
Okay, wait a minute. How are you wording that?
Shot or no shot. The Bears cannot afford to be making exceptions.
The Bears cannot take a running back at number 9. No shot. Now, if you told me he's sitting there at pick 31 and they deem he's so unbelievably number 1 on their board that they're going to move up in this from the second round to the late first, okay. But I don't think he's going to be there then. But if he is, it wouldn't be as egregious because he's wildly talented. Number 9 with a running back and you've done very little to address your offensive line? No shot.
I'm going to go the opposite way. Hasn't, you know, sort of reluctantly. I'm going to say shot. He is pretty special. That's the key here. There, like, once in a while, there's a special back, and it seems like he's one of them. I don't, you can't say for sure. I know you don't spend a bet, but look, when Lamar Jackson was at his best in Baltimore, it was him and the run game behind him. It was the combination. It was the RPO where you're scared of the run game, the running backs, as well as the quarterback. That's what you need with Fields. You still need, first of all, you need two. So you have Herbert. You need another one. And he does seem special. I'm going to go shot, but very reluctantly, Shay.
Yeah, I can't do running back at 9. I think that would you would see me the angriest you've ever seen me. And you've seen me angry, Cap. If they take a running back at 9, my head would explode. We do know, though, Ryan Poles has said he will be married to his draft board come draft night. He will not draft for need. We also know now from Mike McGlinchey via Clay Harbor, the Bears never so much as put a contract offer in front of McGlinchey. And they haven't really addressed the trenches, Cap, that you've brought up in free agency, so shot or no shot. By not addressing the trenches, Ryan Poles set himself up to draft for need.
No shot, because I talked to Ryan Poles at the Indianapolis Combine off the air, and he said, let me just make this clear. I will never deviate from best player on my board. I've been trained that way, and that's the way I'm going to do it. Who is the best player on the board? Because his quote to me was, okay, I draft for need, and I get a good player, but I leave an all-pro on the board, and 3 years later, that guy's an all-pro, and I got an okay player, nice. That guy's a star.
I think he says that in general, but I don't completely believe him. What if he has an all-pro at that position already?
He doesn't matter to him.
I don't necessarily completely believe that. What if his best player on the board is a quarterback right now at 9?
I don't think that's
I'm just giving you scenarios. So in general, I get what he means. I don't think I completely believe him. But it's a good philosophy to follow. Take the best player available because you'll figure it out. You'll trade him. You'll do something with him.
Correct.
The guy you have is gets old, you know, whatever. I agree with that. I don't completely believe him, though. When GMs say that,
well, you look at all the mocks. Like they're in half the mocks, they're taking tackles. Whether it's Broderick Jones out of Georgia, whether it's Paris Johnson, whether it's Peter Skoronski, they're taking tackles. And I think in part of that, the biggest part of that is they didn't address the lines in free agency, so they kind of have to do it in the draft. There's not really a choice there.
Yeah, and I think when I'm assuming by pick 9, if they stay there, Tyree Wilson and Will Anderson gone. So the top rated edge left is probably either Nolan Smith, the kid undersized linebacker slash edge from Georgia, or Lucas Van Ness from your Iowa Hawkeyes, who I hear has just a ridiculous motor and work ethic. So again, I think the highest rated guy on his board is either going to be Bijan Robinson, and I'll be stunned if he does that, or an offensive lineman. He'll get the number one guy at that position.
But you just said he's going to take the best player available.
Correct.
Okay, that could be Bijan Robinson.
I guess it could be.
Okay, so you won't be that stunned then. You're saying you'd be stunned.
I'll be stunned if he has him rated number one
if he has him rated.
Yes.
First of all, when we were kids, the number nine running back would be a no-brainer. So we have really changed our thinking on all this, as the league has. I get it. Mm-hmm. But if I told you, and this is a hypothetical, if this guy was Derrick Henry and you knew he was going to be Derrick Henry, you'd take him in a heartbeat. So my point is...
But you don't know
that. No, you don't. But my point is, don't just dismiss it because running backs are no longer top picks like they used to be. There are guys that are special. You have to figure out if this is one of them. And even if he's not Derrick Henry, if he's one level below, would you take him? So
not
I don't think you
nine.
Just dismiss it at nine.
I can't.
Are you reading up on this guy? I mean, this is what other people are saying.
He's amazingly talented. I watched him play in college and went, that guy's a stud. I hope he's there like as a second round pick.
And by the way, I may be the only person in Chicago, the times I was on the air in the fall, I always thought the offensive line was more perception than reality. It wasn't as bad as people thought because it was bad the year before. But you know, I'm a huge Braxton Jones fan. He's got his issues, but it was his first year, and he held his own. I think the line, actually, if you grade it out, Shay, we went through this at one point, I remember.
16th by Pro Football Focus.
16th. That's not 32nd like it was a year before. So I actually think the line is getting better, and I don't have to push all in for the line if I like this guy, Robinson.
Who's starting at right tackle?
Maybe Jenkins.
But it's not a premium position either. Like that, if you go get somebody like Daquan Jones in the second round out of Ohio State, you could put him in right tackle.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest question is, are they going to leave Braxton Jones there and let him grow? And I hope they do. Because that's the position that they need to lock down.
Shay.
All right, deja vu all over again. Glad I got the north side in the house. Spring training is ending, and the Cubs don't have an extension done with Ian Happ. Happ said he's learned from seeing this happen with his former teammates. He can only control what he can control. My question, shot or no shot, the Cubs finally need to take care of an extension.
Look, they've got, for me, that's no shot. And I love Ian Happ. There's no bigger Ian Happ fan than me. He's a wonderful guy. He's marrying a Chicago area girl. He would love to make this his long-term home and be here his whole career. It is a business. They have got Pete Crow Armstrong on his way. Kevin Alcantara is a top 100 prospect who they got in the Rizzo trade from the Yankees. He profiles as a left fielder. They have got guys there. If Cody Bellinger has an amazing season and they decide we're going to extend him, that's another outfielder.
Brennan Davis is still around.
Brennan Davis. Seiya Suzuki's on a 5-year contract. This is year two. They got an abundance of outfielders. Now, if you tell me Ian Happ goes to the All-Star game again and wins a gold glove, they can get something done before he hits free agency. 100%. So I completely understand what Jed Hoyer is doing here. And on the Nico Horner front, he's got 3 more years of team control. We need to just slow the roll here. Let's see how he adjusts to second base, and then let's see what happens.
Well, I actually disagree with you on the Nico Horner thing. I would try to wrap him up. I would try to send a message to
this
young...
They probably did.
Right. They have tried, and it's just not working. But at some point, one of these things has to work. You've tried. I agree with you on Happ, though. It's his walk year. If he does it again and gets paid somewhere else, fine. I don't think, and I love Ian Happ too. He's turned himself into a good player, but you're not losing Aaron Judge to free agency, right? He's just a good player. Mm-hmm. And he's also on like the Players Association, every board. He's a big time PA guy. My point is, he's not taking some cut rate hometown discount deal. He's going to set a market because he needs to for a lot of reasons. And the market, like for next year for outfielders, for example, I think he's going to go to free agency. I think they should lock up Horner as soon as they can. I mean, we're talking about $60, $70 million cap, not $250.
It's also cheaper to do it early, right?
What's that?
It also typically is cheaper to do it earlier,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course, if you believe in the player. I mean, there's a risk on both sides.
If the player believes in himself, he might say, no, I'm not doing that.
Well, how come Arenado didn't opt out of his deal? How come Paul Goldschmidt didn't wait? How come they just signed? I mean, all these other teams are signing
Paul
their own
Goldschmidt
people.
Got traded by Arizona because didn't get him signed.
I know, and then sign an extension with the Cardinals.
For $135 million for 5 years.
Yeah. So, Was it 135? Maybe 115.
135.
Was it 135? Anyway, I was thinking what Rizzo wanted. Right. Anyway, my point is all these other teams are signing up their guys, mm-hmm. not waiting to walk to free agency. I mean, Arenado could have opted out. He probably left $200 million on the table. That's how much he wanted to stay in St. Louis. It's about time the Cubs kind of show their young group, we'll take care of our own. I think there's something in sending that message. And Horner's a perfect opportunity because you're not spending $300 million on him.
You got 3 years.
I get it. Corbin Carroll just signed for 110, hasn't played one inning in the majors. Arizona Diamondbacks prospect.
God bless.
Nico Horner has that kind of character and game that I think
I would love to see him locked up. I don't know what the talks are. I don't know.
My guess is they probably want shortstop money because he was playing good shortstop. And he's
correct.
Like, no, he's at second. We'll give him good second money, not give him shortstop money.
Correct, because the next 7 years are named Dansby Smith.
Right, exactly right.
And congrats to him. He hit his first homer. Spring.
Bellinger homered yesterday.
Big weekend for the Swanson family.
You get the parade
Mallory
going.
Mallory Pugh, his wife, scored a big goal.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't
for the
see
Red
that.
Stars, yes.
All right, get the parade going.
See, you're watching Iowa women's hoops. I'm watching Red Stars soccer.
I have the Cubs on the third TV. Yesterday, which was my laptop. I don't have three TVs, by
That's
the way.
It.
But I do have a new one coming.
From Apt. ABT.com.
Yeah.
Shay.
All right, UConn is the favorite to win the national championship at minus 120. Winning the title would mark UConn's fifth national championship since 1999. No other school in that span even has four. Shot or no shot, UConn, not Duke or North Carolina, should be considered the premier program in college basketball.
No shot. No shot. They're not one of the blue blood programs. Jim Calhoun did an amazing, amazing job there. No. The blue blood programs are Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, and UCLA.
I'm going to say shot. Times have changed. Mm-hmm. UConn's been a name in college basketball for a long time. Little dip after Calhoun for sure. But they've had their moments even after Calhoun. I'm going to say shot. When I think of good college basketball programs, UConn jumps to my mind a little bit. And times have changed, right? I mean, you didn't mention Louisville. Look what's happened to them. They used to be a blue blood. So I'm going to say
shot.
I don't
think Louisville was ever a blue blood.
Well, I mean, they were
good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Known for basketball, I guess, though. I'm going to say shot. I'm going to say shot, Shay. I think UConn is a program people know and when it comes to men's basketball.
If I could choose to be a fan of a program,
by the way.
Yeah, if I could choose to be a fan of a program, I'd want to be a fan of the one with the most titles in the last 25 years, personally.
Yeah, I don't think you're a blue blood when you win it and you have a scandal shortly thereafter and the thing becomes irrelevant to the point where you got to fight in court with the coach who you're not going to pay who won that title, Kevin Ollie.
Right.
So, 312-332-3776. We'll go around the National Football League. Jesse Rogers is in for Hoodie. I'm Cap. Be right back.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
All right, time to go around the National Football League. We do it every day here on Cap and Jay Hood at 8:18, and we hand it off to Shay.
All right, boys, the league meetings are underway today, I believe, in Phoenix. The general managers and the owners are all getting together to discuss possible changes, rule changes. And one of the things they're talking about, we've discussed this briefly before, but they are really pushing for it now.
Put pitch clock?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, they're going to put a pitch. Yeah, it's called the play clock, Jesse. They've had it for years. They really want Thursday night flex. They want the ability to flex bad games out of the Thursday night slot to help out Amazon that's been struggling to get an audience for their Thursday night football broadcasts. They want to be able to put premier matchups into the Thursday night slots. The problem, you would have to move games 3 days up from Sunday to Thursday to do it.
Well, I think you need to give them more than just 3 days. How about at least a week in advance? You'll know if it's a prime matchup or not.
Yeah, you can't.
Give them a week or two.
You can't Sunday morning go, hey.
You're playing Thursday.
You're on Thursday.
What?
And it's a road game. No. But maybe make a deal that it's, you know, 2 weeks' notice.
They could say the first month of the season is locked. Those are the four games. And then after that, guess what? We are going to flex Chicago in on Thursday in 2 weeks because they're playing really good football and we're putting them up against the Packers.
You know who's going to like that is Al Michaels. Remember, he just was ripping some of those games he had to call. So that's all you do. You just can't give him 3 days' notice. Give him a couple weeks.
Shay.
All right. There's not expected to be a resolution during the meetings with Dan Snyder selling the Washington Commanders. It is deemed very likely he's going to sell, if not the majority, the entire franchise. What they are saying now, though, is he's not going to get the price he wants. He wants $7 billion, and it sounds like he's going to be lucky to get just over $6
billion. Okay, no effect on our lives. Six or seven, what's the difference?
Are you surprised, though, at the valuation of the team being lower than people thought?
Not at $6 billion, I'm not. Like, it's like you're acting like that's a low number. To me, it's not.
Well, what did you expect it to be?
I didn't expect it to be 10, but there are teams. We've talked about the Bears, if they were to sell, would sell for an enormous amount.
The Bears are valued from Forbes at $5.2
billion. But they would sell for more than that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the Cubs' valuation when they first sold to the Ricketts
was under a billion.
The original group that was going to get it was John Canning and the late Andy McKenna. And their final bid was $600 million, and they said they were overpaying.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
And now it's worth $4 billion. Yeah. Now, Ricketts had to put $1 billion of his own money in to finance the construction of the stadium and the renovation, all of that. So $6 billion sounds like a lot of money to
that
me.
That seems like the right number for a team that never wins anyway.
All right, let's talk about Lamar Jackson. It is day 12 of Lamar Jackson being a free agent, and there is no news. From Peter King, not a soul at the meetings is whispering about the prospect of Jackson getting an offer sheet. There's no sign of talks between the Ravens and Jackson to try to rekindle contract discussions. Peter King adds, all I can say, the Ravens had better, deep in the back of their minds, start to consider veteran alternatives. Lamar could hold out and not play.
Well, that would be the stupidest thing ever. You cannot get that money back. You're going to leave $32 million, a big bag of money, and you're not going to take it because of principle?
Do you think that's some sort of form of collusion with this restricted free agency? Hey, nobody sign him quietly. Nobody sign him to a sheet because that's just going to impact. That's going to hurt you someday.
I don't think it's collusion. Like,
there's something there that feels a little dirty.
I feel like we're not going to guarantee a guy who's missed 5 games each of the last 2 years, who has a style of play that we don't think is sustainable, and we're going to guarantee him $230 million or $250 million, whatever the number is.
If you go in a room and you say to your guys, are his best days ahead or behind him? The answer is probably behind him. Right?
Maybe.
Not saying he can't be serviceable, so I understand what he's saying. It's a little strange, though. A lot of teams have crappy quarterbacks. He can't get a restricted, an offer sheet anywhere. I feel like
maybe he's telling them, I want my deal completely guaranteed.
Yeah, maybe.
And those teams go, not happening.
Your own team ain't doing it.
Right.
So, it's possible.
There was last week, there was an interview, and I'm looking for it on my sheet. I'm struggling to find it here. But I remember reading the Ravens, I think, assistant general manager did an interview and admitted their owner told them it was a problem when Deshaun Watson signed the fully guaranteed deal. It created problems for us.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you give...
About setting the market.
Yeah, exactly. The market changes. I remember when the Cubs signed Ryne Sandberg for $7 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in the league said, well, hold on a second. The number one salary at the time was like 5.7. What happened to 6? You blew through that and went all the way to 7. Are you crazy?
They hate that stuff.
They hate that stuff.
And just recently, a GM said to me, why did the Padres give Manny Machado an opt-out when he had $300 million? He opts out, now he gets another to it. Like, it raises the bar for everyone else. So,
correct.
And other GMs
see this. And when
you
agree to take lower money, the union goes,
Which is exactly why Ian Happ probably won't sign, because he's not taking lower money.
Because the union won't allow it.
And he's a top union guy.
Let's assume, I'll just paint a scenario.
Yeah.
A guy comes from a family of billionaires. He doesn't need the money. He's got billions. He says, you know what? I want to be a Cub or a White Sox. I'll play for the league minimum. The union can block that, and they would.
They would. Now, there are exceptions to the rule. I mean, if something's close and you say, no, I'm taking less to stay at home or whatever.
A-Rod tried to be a Red Sox before a Yankee and took less money. He said, I'll negotiate that. I want to play for the Red Sox. And the union, you can go look it up.
Yeah, yeah.
The union said no,
yeah.
And they would not approve the deal.
Well, it's like the NBA wouldn't let Chris Paul go to the Lakers. There's always things that happen like this. I just found it fascinating, and I have the quote now. Ozzie Newsome, the Ravens GM and executive vice president, every club has to do what they have to do with contracts. I don't worry about what other people do, but our owner did say that contract, talking about Deshaun Watson, did create some problems. We have to figure out if that's going to be the norm or is that an outlier. So when you hear that from a GM and EVP of a team talking about his owner saying that, to Jesse's point about collusion, it might not be collusion, but it might be all of the owners in agreement going, we can't let this happen again. Don't give Lamar that deal.
Let's put it this way. Between that scenario and the opposite, which is they never talk, they never discuss these things, which seems more realistic? What you just said. There's always conversations underneath the surface, and that's why I say it's not direct collusion. But indirectly, it is. Or it goes on.
Shake.
One of the rules that is likely to pass, Peter Kang calls the Brock Purdy rule, is the third quarterback exemption, where you now can carry an extra player on your roster to have an emergency quarterback.
That's fine. But you know what? You've got a 50-man roster? Is that what it still is?
53.
Dress three quarterbacks. Everybody make your own decision. You want to dress three? You want to dress two? I don't like it, actually. I said it's fine. I don't like it.
Shay, read it one more time.
You want to use up a quarterback for one of your 53, you do it. And you should.
It allows you to carry a third quarterback active as an extra player on game days.
So it's like a 54th roster.
Yeah, you have an additional slot on the roster.
I'm totally on board with that.
I'm against it.
What was the game the Bears had where we all... The game against the Jets. Shay, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was the Jets game. Trevor Siemian tore his oblique in warmups. They shot him up and he played, but they had issued a release during the pregame. He's injured and Nathan Peterman's going to start, and the backup quarterback was David Montgomery.
All right.
That's just stupid.
So carry three and dress three. You have 53 men to use up your roster. Dress three quarterbacks.
Just let him have an emergency.
Let's give him another one.
Yes. Emergency quarterback.
Brock Purdy rule. I don't like it.
On the free agency front, Bobby Wagner is back in Seattle. They are returning him on a one-year deal. They signed over the weekend for his age 33 season. He was the highest-graded linebacker in football in 2022 per PFF, and Seattle's bringing him home.
Yeah, they were in a different place a year ago thinking we might have to undergo a bit of a rebuild here. And then Geno Smith happened to him, and he played phenomenal football. And so they re-signed him to a big-money deal, but it's all front-loaded. They can get out of that deal quick. And Bobby Wagner looked and went, I loved it in Seattle. I'm back.
Yeah.
I just was there 2 weeks ago. My son and daughter-in-law live in Seattle. That city's really nice.
Yeah, the All-Star game's there. Baseball All-Star game this year. I'm definitely going to that. It is a great city. I don't know about this Seattle thing. I think can Geno Smith play better? I mean, I don't know. They may have maxed out last year, and they're sort of caught in between. All right, we got to bring them all back again. I'm not sure I love it, though. Not sure I love it.
We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, 312-332-3776. We will get into more football and a play in the SDSU game. That's not South Dakota State. That would be San Diego State. Scare Jesse. You're scared, go buy a dog, as Stacy would say. Next.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n J. Hood.
Final Four is set with three of the Final Four teams making their first ever appearance. UConn, the only team remaining that has made it this deep in the tournament before this season. The Bulls won their 7th in 10 games last night. They're 10-5 since Pat Bev joined the roster with a 118-108 win over La Lakers. LeBron James returned from injury, scored 19, but not enough. The Bulls, Zach LaVine's 32, DeRozan 17 and 10. The Bulls win by 10. White Sox have set their opening day roster. It will not include Leury García. He signed a 3-year, $16.5 million deal before last season. He's set to earn $5.5 million this year. His absence clears the way for Hanser Alberto, who's hitting over 400 this spring. And Iowa's Caitlin Clark, you better know that name, made NCAA tournament history yesterday. First ever 40-point triple-double to lead the Hawkeyes to the Final Four. Iowa awaits the winner of tonight's matchup between undefeated South Carolina and Maryland. Jay Moore.
You're listening to Cap'n Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at TheCapMan and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
So yesterday, we're all locked in watching NCAA hoops and enjoying the afternoon. It was a great weekend of hoops. And last night, you had the Lady Hawkeyes, Jessie School, rolling into the Final Four with the first ever 40-point triple-double. And the topic came up of what would be your sports nightmare if you got dropped into it. Jessie said what?
That San Diego State game at the end, the controversial call on Darian Trammell, who got fouled.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was a foul. So he's basically at the free throw line to win the game with no time on the clock. They put a second on. That is my nightmare. I've actually brought this up on the air before.
Mm-hmm.
I used just two examples. What would freak you out more? And I think I said an 8 to 10 foot putt to win the Masters. Or no time on the clock, you got to hit a free throw or maybe two. In this case, he just needed one. That is my sports nightmare. And I know a lot of people listening probably would disagree with me because everybody plays basketball and free throws are no. I just would crumble. My knees would, I would brick both of them. I just know it. I'm just one. That's the thing that would freak me out. I personally would have a better shot, and I'm not a great golfer. I think I'd have a better shot, I don't know, 8 foot putt, whatever the equivalent of a free throw is, I'd have a better shot at a putt. I literally think I've had nightmares about bricking free throws. That's mine.
Okay, so a couple things. One, for me, it would not be the putt because, yes, you want to win and you're competing to try and win. But if that putt is to win the tournament, then if you miss it, I'm assuming you're either going to a playoff or you're going to finish second. You're still going to make millions of dollars.
Okay.
Millions of dollars. So the pressure is not like, oh, God. And you're only letting yourself down if you missed, as opposed to all of San Diego State Nation or Duke Nation or whoever, North Carolina, whoever the team is.
Makes sense.
So you get up there to shoot the free throw. If you fail and you end up losing, you got to be the guy that goes through life going, if that SOB would have made the
my nightmare?
Right.
But the other thing is I just know that I would miss. I have no confidence in myself. And that is the first thing you need to have when you're up in that moment, right?
Right. So, I'll tell you a quick story. You're not allowed, unless you're at the tournament, let's say there's a Thanksgiving tournament mm-hmm. or a Christmas tournament, like the Great Alaska Shootout, mm-hmm. you could sit and watch the next game after your team's done playing. Mm-hmm. You can scout in person the teams in the tournament. But you are not allowed, let's say you're the coach at Loyola,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to play Valparaiso coming up in a week or two. You can't send someone to the Valpo game and let them sit in the arena and scout them. You can do it all on tape. Just tape. Every game's on TV somewhere. Just tape it and then break everything down from there. Back in the day when I was at Northern from 82 to 86, I would literally get in the car and drive to Bowling Green, Toledo, Ball State, and in person have a seat at Press Row, get all their plays down, and then come back, put a scouting report together. Hey, this Jesse Rogers kid can't go to his left.
Sure.
So we got to force him left every
day. Can't make free throws.
Correct. And if late game situation, guys, we want Jesse Rogers, number 7, on the line.
Right.
Because he can't make free throws in clutch situations, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So I'm in Toledo. I'm at the arena. They have a really, really good team. Really good. And so I'm there 4 and 5 times each season scouting them. Mm-hmm. He was dating a girl in Toledo for a while because I was there so much. They come up to me on Press Row before the game. Excuse me, coach?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to do us a favor? Yeah. What do you need? We have a halftime promotion. I'm trying to remember what it was called. Osterman Jewelers. Shay, look up the biggest jewelry store chain in Toledo. I think it was like Osterman Jewelers. Would you be willing to shoot free throws? If you make the first one, you get a $50 gift card. If you make the second, you get $100. If you make the third, you get $150. The fourth, you get $250. And if you hit all five, you get a $500 gift card.
Why aren't they asking someone from, like, a fan?
Right.
Instead of a coach.
And I'm like, you know me.
Coach of an opposing team, no less.
Yeah, you know me. Lights?
Yeah,
exactly. I'm ready to go. So I'm sure I'll be glad to do that. And I'm in a sport coat and a tie. It was different. You don't show up in a warm-up.
Right, right.
Here we go. They had
this halftime?
Halftime.
Okay.
Our shooter tonight is the assistant coach at Northern Illinois, David Kaplan. And 9,000 or whatever that place hosts or holds. Booing. Standing.
Oh, my God. So you are about to do my sports nightmare right now, basically.
Osterman Jewelers. Was I right?
Yeah, it got bought out by Kay. But, yeah. So what was this, 100 years ago?
40 years ago. And it got bought by Kay Jewelers. Okay. So I go up there. First free throws for a $50 gift card. I'm making $4,200 a year as the assistant. That was my salary. And so I'm not going to buy anything at the jeweler for $50. I go up, they're booing. And I'm having the greatest time. Make the first free throw. Now I go for the 100. Make the second free throw. I get the first four to go down. I got a $250.
Four more than I would have made.
$250 gift card going. Would you like to risk it for the $500 gift card? And I rimmed it out.
Cone, you rimmed it out. You made 4 out of 5, though.
Yeah.
See?
And I had a blast.
So that's not your nightmare. Your free throws, you're okay with.
My nightmare would be having to be on the mound in the World Series, pitching for the Cubs, for them to have to win the World Series. There's bases loaded, 2 outs. We have a 1-run lead, and it's Aaron Judge for the Yankees. And he takes me deep.
That's your... Well, I mean, like, the fact that you're on the mound, you have the ability, you can do it. Like, the thing about a free throw is anybody technically can make a free throw, right? If you played any basketball. That's why it's kind of probably personal to me. I just feel like I mentally just would, I can't, I was never a good shooter. To stop the game, have everybody watching me shoot a free throw, I would just, my knees would buckle.
You're not built for the bright lights.
I'm not built for that bright light. I can take a slap shot, I can whatever. Throw a pitch if I'm not built for that.
It's so funny. I remember in Little League baseball, we had like the postseason and we played for the World Series in Little League. And I was up to bat, final hitter for my team in the final game of the playoffs. And I struck out. And ever since then, being the last at bat in a game like that is my sports nightmare. But the opposite of what Cap said, I'd have no problem going on the mound. That I would love to do. Pitching the final inning, I'd love. Being the final out at bat, no thank you. I don't want any part of it.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think most people would be okay with a free throw. I'm just not one of them. I don't know what it is. I'd probably airball one. Then the next one, I'd overcompensate and go hard off the backboard.
Jay Moore, what would be your nightmare? Good. Your sports nightmare. Like, oh, God, I can't do this.
I don't really have one.
Oh, you're good at everything, huh?
Not saying that.
You just can do anything, huh, Jay Moore?
Not saying that. I just don't have one.
I think I've literally actually had the nightmare, Cap, of brick and free throws. Give me one sport. You just, like, I've never been good at basketball. Never. And I played every sport. Can handle my own in any other one, even tennis, whatever.
Yeah, I hate tennis.
Can't play basketball. I'm just not good at basketball.
I'm just not a tennis
player. There you go. All right, so tennis.
I can tell you this much, though. Those runs when these teams come back in basketball is actually real. You know, some people used to have theories that it wasn't, that it was staged. But when you've played the game and you see how these games can turn around quickly, those runs are absolutely true, and I've been in them.
Yeah, momentum can change.
Yes.
There's no doubt. We 100%. Saw in the Miami game yesterday. It just flipped, and they never got it back.
All right, 312-332-3776 if you have a sports nightmare. Charles Barkley was on 60 Minutes last night. I'm a huge Barkley guy. You won't believe what the Chuckster said about the name, image, likeness that is now dominating college athletics. Next.